you know, we really have touched the living fountain of life. Actually, you know, we are here in this one divine flow. The Lord's recovery is to recover truth and the life. And we're truly happy and blessed that we can be here. You know, just to touch the matters that's revealed in the 3T, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. It's really the Lord's blessing that we can be in this age, born in this age at this time. Okay. While you're at it, I'm not too sure how to go about it. I'm still looking to the Lord. Since we're at the outline, I didn't get tested. I escaped the group truth. But that's all, since we have it, let's all turn to our outline. Maybe you can see something from the outline here. The subject, right, of 1 Timothy is God's economy concerning the church. Okay, 2 Timothy, what do we have? Inoculation against the decline of the church. And Titus, the maintenance of the order in the church. Okay, so from here, actually, I'd like to show you the man of God, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge, and good and evil. Okay, actually, that can be seen in these outlines. Okay, I want to repeat again, but Benjamin began by God, right, created man according to his image after his likeness, but with a purpose, right? According to his purpose, he created man to express him and to represent him. Okay, to express him and to represent him. So actually today, if you look at this, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is man? It takes man. Okay, God's desire, God's intention, God's heart is man. So it takes man, but not just any man, but a man of God. A man of God to be on earth, you know, to express him and represent him. So there is a war going on. Okay, the tree of life is here, right? Okay, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in a sense that typifies, represents God, Satan, and man. So we have to know where we are in history and to know our position, right, in God's divine economy and plan. Then our life will be aligned to God's heart's desire and God's plan. See, we need to make a choice. Okay, I was just, you know, just reading Deuteronomy 30 is Moses. It's almost like Paul coming to the end of his life. He presents but life and death before the people of Israel. So here you had to look at Paul at the end of his ministry, before his martyrdom in AD 67, you know, he is here presenting to his child Timothy. O men of God, and there's another O, O Timothy. O Timothy. So in a sense, he's speaking to you, to me, to each one of us. Today there is a choice. So he's presenting what he has, he has seen what has been constituted into him and written into these three T's. Okay, Timothy and Titus. So let's look at this, okay? So here we have God's economy in Roman number 2. The faith, right? The faith. And, so here it takes the man. Can you see what kind of man it is from the outlines? Jumping through. A good minister of Christ. and who? A man of God. Right? And you go to 2 Timothy, what kind of man is here? And then the inoculator. Okay. So the five, the teacher, soldier, contender, a farmer, and a workman. So here you see this man of God. This is what we're covering in evening lines. Okay. And here also you can see another line. What is that the other line? Different teachings. I underline it in dark. Different teachings. Okay. And what else? The prediction of the decline of the church. That was predicted, in AD 65 in 1 Timothy. But less than 2 years. What do you have there on the other side? You have the factor of the decline, the forsaking of the apostle of the ministry. You have the spreading of the decline. You have the worsening of the decline. Okay, you have the issue of the decline. That is loving the present age and doing many evil things. Many evil. So here it takes, we have to look at this and understand where we are today. Okay, in relationship. So God's economy is concerning the church. Christ and the church. This is God's economy. But here there's another source, right? These other Satan is here, corrupting, damaging. So what is the origin or the factor of the decline here? It's in the outline. What is the factor? Forsaking the apostles and his ministry. Okay, so I just want to go through with you a little bit, okay? Martin's going to, have the bulk of this message, but I just have a burden that in relationship, we need to see God's economy. We really need to see what is God's economy. In reading all these verses, memorizing all these verses, may we see God's economy. Okay, God's economy in 1 Timothy 1:4, okay, there is a footnote there. Can we all turn to it? I would recommend several footnotes. I don't have the time. The first footnote I would recommend is 1 Timothy 1:1, note 1, actually. If you really want to know the three T's, okay, you have to read 1 Timothy 1:1, note 1. I'll just read through, okay? It talks about the faith, the content of the complete gospel of God's New Testament economy. You have the truth being the reality, okay, of the content of the God's New Testament economy. And three, you have the healthy teachings. Are you following me there? Can you read? Do you have the New Testament with you? The healthy teaching, okay, it is the ministry of the truth, ministering to people the reality of the divine truth. So you have the faith, okay, then you have the truth being the reality. And the healthy teaching, this is what we're going to touch here, is the ministering of the truth, the ministering to people the reality, which is the truth. Okay, so you have that. Then you have also eternal life, the means and the power to carry out divine revelation of the faith. The means and the power. Godliness is a living that expresses a divine reality. And faith is a response to receiving, okay, of this divine truth. And conscience is a test and check, all right? The check, okay? It's a conscience, a preservation and a keeping of the truth. Okay, so I hope that there's a song, right? There's a song. I hope we can all sing that. But this will help you to connect together the three T's. I just recommend this footnote to you. Okay, then considering God's economy, it's God's, let's turn to 1 Timothy 1:4, if you have it. 1:4, there. Okay, let's recite 1 Timothy 1:4. Okay, so there in the footnote, okay, it says it's oikonomia. Okay, oikonomia is a household law. Okay, household law, or I will write household law or household administration, even it is a management. Oikonomia. It's a household law, household administration, or household management. But this word, very interesting, it's also translated into dispensation or dispensing. So you have the household administration, right? In order to accomplish God's divine economy, how does God do it? By his dispensing. Amen. Hallelujah. By his divine dispensing that he accomplished his divine economy. You see, with this, it's not rules and regulations and that is by but dispensing. Dispensing himself as life. Dispensing the all-inclusive Christ into all of us. Into his household, right? Into the house. The church, the house of the living God, the pillar and base of the truth. Right? So how is God's economy accomplished? By his dispensing. Okay, so very interesting. Okay. And this word is also in John 10:9, you have the same root. It's a pasture. Okay, so think about dispensing what? It's a sheep, a flock. He is the door. He's bringing us into that pasture. Just enjoying. Okay, so everything that has to do with God's economy is the matter of dispensing of himself. Right? Dispensing of himself as life. Okay. Here you have there's a footnote. If you have it, turn to it, and I like for some of you, turn to it, stand up and read it. Paul says for public reading to Timothy, you have to stand up and release your spirit. Okay. There's a footnote in Ephesians 3:2. Ephesians 3:2. If you find it, please stand up and read it. Okay, release your spirit.
Read the same word as economy in verses 9 and in 1:10. In relation to God, this word denotes God's economy, God's administration. In relation to the apostle,
okay, so here, according to God, okay, in relationship to God, this word denotes what? Economy, okay, economy. But in relationship to the apostles, what does this word denote to? Okay, so it's a stewardship. Relation with God or the apostles is a stewardship. So I'm just giving a background. Marty's going to get it, okay? Stewardship, right? Stewardship, okay? Stewardship, what does a stewardship do? Yeah, dispenses, right? Airline, they used to call it airline steward this, but now, you know, gender, you know, female, you know, but it's still stewardship, right? So in the old times, in the ancient times, I don't know, in Greek, in China, or whatever, you have a steward of the house. Right? That stewardship is to dispense all the riches of God's house. So in a sense, you have the stewardship here. Okay, stewardship. But it says that the stewardship of grace is for the dispensing of grace of God into his chosen people. And out of the stewardship comes what? The ministry. Of the apostles. You see that? Out of that comes the ministry of the apostles, who is a steward in God's house. What does he do? Ministering Christ as grace to God's household. Okay, so you have stewardship, you have the steward. Right? Okay. I should not put here. I'm sorry. It should be ministers. Stewards. Okay. Or servants. Okay. We'll see that. Okay. So here you can see. Okay. God's economy is here. It's done by, big word, dispensing. How do we accomplish God's economy? By dispensing. Therefore, he has, according to God, it is his economy. But according to us, right, it is a stewardship. The ministry, okay, to dispense Christ. So here are the ministers. Okay, I want to stop here a little bit. Okay, there is a book that I would like to recommend to you. It's God's New Testament Economy and the Apostles' Teaching. So you can go buy a copy. You can go online here. Okay, just read that book, God's New Testament Economy and the Apostles' Teaching. Okay, so that is a very important book that we need to see because here, okay, there is a lot of confusions. Okay, here I drove up with the saints from Montreal to cross the border. We were drilled, right? Worse than you are, you know. What do you get? Who are you? What do you do? I'm a Christian minister. Okay. You know, we have so much concept, okay? One holding the Bible, standing on the pulpit. So this word has been misused, among the Christians. So actually, going back to the border, all of you should answer, what do you do? I'm a minister of Christ Jesus. Okay, I hope you have the proper understanding going back the border, okay? So we are all ministers, okay, of this rich ministry, okay? So here, this has been so much misunderstood, even throughout the centuries. And this is the reason that the degradation of the church came up. And this is what the Lord's recovery has recovered. The whole matter of the New Testament ministry. There's only one unique New Testament ministry. And we are the ministers. Okay. I'll read something out of that book. Okay. So this ministry, okay, and how do we see the matter of the ministry? Actually, it is in 2 Corinthians. The matter of the ministry and the ministers. A lot of verses are there. You have to see, this. What is, because there is, okay, a ministry is to carry out what God has covenanted with his people. Without God's covenant, we do not have any work to do. And without carrying out God's covenant, whatever we do has nothing to do with the ministry. So a lot of people are doing many things. So I have the music ministry, the prison ministries, they're doing their, whatever ministries. But that ministry has to do everything to do with God's new covenant. Okay, the ministry is just the service. Okay, the ministry is just the service or the work. And the ministers are the workers, or the stewards, or you could say workers. It says that in the whole universe, there are only two covenants that are crucial. Only two. The Old Testament, although there are many words to covenant, but many is the covenant of the law. Okay. But in the New Testament, this covenant was enacted by the Lord in Matthew 26, 8, Mark 14, 24, Luke 20, remember when the Lord was set, he said, this is the covenant. So from this covenant the Lord has for us, we have this New Testament covenant. Okay, the ministry of the new covenant, which is in 2 Corinthians 2:6. And in 2 Corinthians, this New Testament ministry is uniquely one, universally. So in a sense, the Lord was here, right? He was carrying out this New Testament ministry. The apostles were here. They're carrying out this one unique ministry, the New Testament ministry. So here, Peter was in this ministry. Paul and John, they were all in this ministry. Although they're ministers, yet there's only one unique ministry according to God's economy. So all the works of the ministries and the teachings, other than the teaching of the apostles, cannot consider part of the New Testament ministry. I just want to leave you. I think I'm getting too much. Are you okay? Getting too much into it, but I just want to lay this foundation. Okay, it's so crucially important. If you depart from this, brothers and sisters, I don't have the words. I just have the burden. I don't have the words. I'm presenting to you, brothers and sisters. We are this ministry, okay? This ministry. We don't say this is someone's ministry, Brother Lee's, Brother Nee. I mean, you hear all these. We follow closely of this ministry because this is the New Testament ministry. When Brother Nee, when he was 6 years, he could not minister, Brother Nee, due to some turmoil. So when Brother Lee visited him, and Brother Lee told Brother Nee, I follow you, I'm quoting, not because of our friendship, not because of this and that, okay, because you're in this way. That's the way Paul was in. He was persecuting people in the way, in this way. Okay, if one day you do not go on this way, I will still go. So the following of this ministry is not following a person. Yes, I'll say, yes, definitely we're following a person. But because Brother Nee was in this ministry. It's a continuation of it's one of the ministers of this New Testament ministry. Okay, so it's nothing to do with human relationship. What you like, I like he's so charismatic, he's so powerful, he'll give you position. I mean, it has nothing to do with anything. Everything has to do with this God's economy and God's New Testament ministry. So praise the Lord, we're in this New Testament ministry. We've been recovered back. So we need to follow this ministry. That's what caused, okay, the whole, you're reading, the whole thing about the root cause actually is forsaking not only the apostles, but the apostle and his ministry. See, that caused the whole degradation, decline. Eventually, you look into church history, Catholicism, the whole decline. Even the Protestant, even today's many ministries, okay, you're doing that, but, and ministers, the misuse of this word, but we want to be recovered back. Right? We got recovered back to be a good minister of Christ Jesus. So we need to be in this way. And following this way, another thing about I just want to finish real quickly, is the apostles' teaching. Can someone read 1 Timothy 6:1 and a note? Okay, you have it. 1 Timothy 6:1. As many are slaves, okay, under the yoke, should regard as their own master as worthy of all honor, lest the name of God and our teaching be blasphemed. And what does our teaching say? Okay, the teaching of the apostles. So what do we minister? We have God's economy. Right? That is the whole wire diagram. Okay. God's economy, actually, it's to dispense, right? Christ, process concept of triune God into us, okay? Then we are the stewards, right? We're the ministers of this work, of this ministry. But what are we dispensing people to? It's actually the truth, the healthy words, right? All the healthy words from different teaching, different words. blasphemy and all that. You know, so what we're dispensing is actually the apostles. Apostles teaching. So I'll finish with this. So this is crucial. Remember, plural, apostles, but one teaching. So where does this apostles teaching come from? In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, the Lord said, go, right, and disciple all the nations, disciple, and baptize them into the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what's the next verse? Can someone read it? I want to hear you read it. But teach them. What? Can you read it? Reference. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. I with you. Not only baptize, but disciple. But how do you disciple? Okay, teaching. And that became Acts 2:42. In summary, Acts. So they, when the church began, what did they do? They continue steadfastly in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles. You got it? The teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. So the Lord did not speak from himself. The Lord did not do his work, right? Brother Bill gave us all the 6 points. I mean, the Lord was doing the Father's will. Right? He was doing the Father. He did not speak his own words. So he passed them to the disciples. Right? So the disciple, that became the apostles' teaching. That apostles' teaching includes the four gospels, includes the epistles and revelation, the entire revelation of the New Testament concerning God's economy is the apostles' teaching. So this is what we continue steadfastly. This is the healthy teaching that we have. Okay, still have some time. So I don't know if you see this picture. You know, actually this is from the throne. Okay, again, okay. This, from the throne of God and the Lamb flows the river water of life. This is administration and also grace. If you go to the training, this is administration and grace. I mean, I don't have the words, it's a picture here. So we're channels only. Blessed Master. Why? We're here, actually, in this divine flow. There's only one flow. That is the flow from the throne. Right? And throughout the ages, it has flown to us. Right? We're in this one flow. Right? We're in God's divine economy, which is in faith, you know. But we also had the apostles, I mean, the stewardship, right? Giving us this new, you know, presenting to us. I mean, faith would be in this ministry. But not only a ministry of one person, you had the ministry of Peter, the right? Ministry of Paul, completing ministry, the ministry of John, the mending ministry. Right? And also this is a ministry of what? Spirit, of righteousness and reconciliation. I don't have the time, but you can see it's so rich. And we're the many ministers, the stewards, right? And the workers, the servants to serve. But what do we serve? The healthy teaching. Amen. Which is the apostles' teaching. The word. The good word. Okay. Amen. So with that said, okay, let's read the title. The men of God, a good minister of Christ Jesus. Roman number 1. A minister of Christ is one who serves people with Christ. Ministering Christ as Savior, life, life supply, and every positive thing to people. Okay. A good minister of Christ should lay these things, the things of God's New Testament ministry. Universe. If you lay these things, what are these things? God's New Testament economy. Okay, these things, okay, before the brothers, you will be a good minister, right? Minister of Christ Jesus, and the rest will be followed. Being nourished with what? The words of the faith and of the good teaching which you have closely followed. So this is where we are in point and time in history. This has been opened up to us. I just want to assure all of us that we are in this New Testament ministry. And we are the ministers. Therefore, do not lose heart, but receive. You know, there's so many verses. If you go through Paul, you know, of his conversion, I'll just give you the reference. You know, in Acts 9:15, Acts 20:24, Acts 26:16, it talks about Paul being a chosen vessel. He has seen the vision, right, of God's economy, of right, me, Jesus, and the third thing, vessel. Right, vessel. Right, vessel. So all that. And then he was appointed minister. All these words are here. That's the beginning. And we're coming to the end. You have to trace through Paul's conversion. You have to trace through what Paul went through in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You know, then you can see the whole picture is here. So he is our pattern. Of course, the Lord Jesus, he was the minister, you know. But we, so was Paul. But today, you look at this little Timothy. Do we have a shortest brother here or sister here? Timothy and Paul, probably smaller. I don't know. These two, you know, walking around. Lord, even the Lord, we don't know how he looks, okay? You know, he was walking. But they're ministers, okay? Timothy has some stomach problem, you know. Probably too much pressure from the church life. So use a little wine, you know. So we can all, I mean, if Paul can be a minister, so can we. He was breathing out. I mean, you look at the history. He was murdering. You know, he was killing Christians. The foremost, he was the foremost sinner. If he can be, we can. If we can be Paul, how about Timothy? He's a little weak, or else Paul would not charge him. Left and right, you know. Spirit, you know, laying out of hands, you know. I remind you, you know, remind, I charge you. You look at this little weak, timid Timothy. Right, you know, not you know. So you look at it; you know, the whole picture is here. But we, what we need to do is not to be malnourished. What does it take to be a good minister? Being nourished. Okay.
How about we all recite 1 Timothy 4:6 together? We've been in this all week concerning God's economy, and that is that he wants to produce some God-men, right? And we heard in the very first meeting that a God-man is one who not only has the Lord's divine life and nature, but is one who continues to partake, right? To continue to enjoy in a daily way, to receive and enjoy and partake of Christ in a daily way until something happens. Right, you start to become one with God, and then you begin to express him. Right, so you go from being a receiver, a vessel, enjoying God's dispensing, till eventually you have something yourself to dispense. Right, and that's really the burden tonight, is that we, if you look at that verse, 1 Timothy 4:6. Who is the you in this verse? It's Timothy. So if Timothy, if you, Timothy, lay these things before the brothers, you, Timothy, will become a good minister of Christ Jesus. Okay? Then how does this take place? How is this possible? It's by being nourished with the words of the faith and of the good teaching which you have closely followed. Well, maybe to start, I'd like to share a little bit my own testimony. Okay, when I was a freshman in college, I met some guys in my dorm, on my floor in my dormitory. I had no clue. Actually, I appreciated Bill's testimony this morning. I also grew up a very good Catholic and also an altar boy. Okay. And actually, I had a lot of religion, but I didn't have Christ. Okay. And then I met some brothers on the floor. We didn't call them stewards. Nobody had a title. I'm a minister. Okay. They were just students. And they were a couple years older than me. And actually, I went to one of them very simply because I needed some little tutoring in biology. Okay, I wasn't a star biology student. So I went down to get some help. And this brother, he helped me. He didn't say a word about Christ. He just helped me with biology. That's what I went there for. And then when I walked out of his room, I noticed, you know, he had a little piece of paper on his doorpost, and it showed two young people walking by a garage, and on the garage it had scratched on it, Jesus Christ. And the guy said to the girl, hey, we've tried everything else, why don't we try him? So when I was walking out the door, I saw that, and I asked him, what is that? What's that all about? And he got so excited. He said, well, you got a few more minutes? Why don't we just sit down a minute? I said, sure. So I sat down, and he shared with me his testimony. And he exercised a little bit of his stewardship. Okay? And what did he do? He dispensed just a little something of Christ into me. Okay? I didn't get saved. Not yet. Okay? Then through him, I got to meet six other brothers. If you can believe this, this was six other brothers living on the same floor in the same dorm. Okay? And actually, at that time, it's a pretty crazy time period. And anyway, I didn't know anything about, I never even heard the word, but I never knew what a brother was. Okay? And anyway, through this one who shared with me, I got to meet the other brothers on the floor. Of course, these brothers, kind of like Minoru last night, he said he stood out in the hotel. These brothers stood out quite a bit in the dormitory because at that time, everybody looked kind of crazy and wild. You know, had really long, crazy hair, you know, and it was a pretty wild time. And these brothers were all kind of clean cut, you know, really good brothers. And one thing was pretty amazing. I noticed right away, in fact, the brothers are going to talk about this tomorrow, is one thing I noticed probably before anything. I didn't use this phrase, but this was what it was. These brothers had a proper humanity. Okay? What was that? They got up in the morning. And their rooms were clean. Right? And I never heard anything foul ever come out of their mouth. Okay? And they were really good students. Okay? They were really God men. They were men of God. But they were just normal students. Okay? And they were living in the dorm, and through them, actually, I got to find out there's such a thing called sisters. And so we went down to the cafeteria, and I was a freshman, and I didn't know, you know, am I going to eat with these peculiar guys, you know? But I just felt I was drawn to them. I just wanted to be with them. So I just went and ate when they went to the cafeteria, I went and sat down with them and ate meals with them. And I got to meet the brothers and the sisters. And then we played ball together and we studied together. And one thing happened was they started coming down to my room at least once or twice a week just to get me into the Bible. And another thing they did was once or twice a week in the beginning, we would get together in the morning before class and have a little time just to read a few verses and pray. And this is all brand new to me. But what was happening was I was starting to get ministered to. Right? Something of God was starting to be imparted to me. Okay? But you know what? I still wasn't saved. And it wasn't, maybe I know some of you may have heard this story, but this was actually more than 40 years ago, sorry to say. But at that time, one brother was very bold among them all. And I went down to talk to him one night, and I was challenging him a little bit. Basically, my conscience was a little bothered by their living. And I challenged him, how do you expect to relate to anybody around here? You know, you don't do anything that the other guys do. I never heard anything bad come out of your mouth. You don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't do any, do everything everybody else does around here. Okay? And this guy, you know what he did? He just came right to my face and he said, "Marty, are you really a Christian?" And I was offended, that he would ask me that. But because by that time I was starting to read the Bible and I was starting to even pray with them. But when he shared with me, then he shared with me verses right from the Bible, okay, which I never had a Bible. In my family, we had this big old family, what do you call it, coffee table type Bible. Yeah, but I didn't have my own personal Bible. Okay, so this brother shared with me, he who has the Son has the life of God. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. Okay, and then he asked me, do you have the Son? If you don't have the Son, the Bible says some have, some don't have. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the life. You don't have eternal life. And then he said, if you don't have eternal life, you need to receive eternal life. Eternal life is in the Son. Then he showed me a verse, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gives the authority to become children of God. Okay? And at that time, his word, actually it wasn't his word, it was a word from the Bible, but he was the minister. He was a good minister. Right? So we were talking about this afternoon. You know, we need to be inoculated. But inoculation, you know, doesn't just float in the air and all of a sudden end up in your arm. Somebody puts it into you. A nurse comes and gives it to you. Right? So this brother, he was a good minister. He ministered Christ into me. Amen. And he challenged me. Have you ever really received Christ? So at that time, it caused a reaction to take place in me. And like we shared this morning, unfeigned faith started to rise up. Right? We heard this morning, faith comes by hearing. And hearing through the word. Right? But how are people, in Romans says, how are they going to hear if no one proclaims him? So to this day, I am so thankful that a brother proclaimed him to me. Okay? He was a good minister. He was enjoying the dispensing of the triune God into him in his daily life. He was praying. He was in the word. He was in fellowship. He was in the enjoyment. But somehow, I don't know if he even heard these words back then, but he had a stewardship. and he wasn't afraid to exercise it. And he shared with me, and he knew how to use the Bible, and he knew how to lead me to receive Christ. Okay? He was a good steward, a good servant. Okay? And what did he bring me? He brought me the apostles' teaching. Right? That is right from the Bible. Okay? And he ministered it into me, and I went back to my room, and I knelt down by my bed, and I just prayed, Lord Jesus, I don't know if you're in me or if you're not in me. If you are, that's good. If you're not, Lord Jesus, I receive you.
Amen.
Come into me.
Amen.
That was my beginning.
Amen.
I got born again.
Amen.
I got regenerated.
Amen.
I became a man of God.
Amen.
Okay, well, that was wonderful, but that was just the beginning, right? Okay, that was a little while ago. So, can I erase this? Okay, so I think the burden this week is two ways. And one is that we ourselves become men of God. You know, we had all week, we had these different topics. We need to be a man of God. What do men of God do? They partake. Okay? Then what is a vessel? What does a vessel do? Flees and pursues. Okay? Then what does a pattern do? A pattern bears responsibility, right? In word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Okay? He bears something. Then how about an inoculator? We heard last night an inoculator teaches and lay holds of eternal life and disciplines himself and sows like a farmer. Okay, and serves. Okay, so tonight we're on the minister. What does a minister do? A minister, if you look at that outline on the Roman numeral 1, a minister is one who serves people with what? With Christ. Okay, so I'm going to put this up here again. We started on this the other day. Who are we? We're ministers. Okay? What's another word for ministers? We're stewards. Okay, what's a more common word? You're a waiter. Okay, I don't know if you ever went to like a wedding or some really nice event where the waiters come around, you know, with one of those things on there, you know, and then they say, you like some hors d'oeuvres, you know. You like some refreshments, sir? You know. What do they do? They're just servants. Okay? So you don't have to get some people, you know, get, like David said, you know, like, I'm a minister of God. as if it's some big title. No. It's a servant. A public servant. But a very important thing about these servants is, okay, if I came around with a plate, okay, nice platter, okay, there's only one big problem. See all the food? It'd be bad if it was empty. I don't know if you ever went to a wedding or something and somebody comes around with a nice reception and with a big platter, and they go to serve you something, and there's nothing there. You say, what? Okay, so this is a big burden that we have to consider. Okay, if you're a minister, you're a minister. Okay, you have to have something to minister. Okay, who has Matthew chapter 24? This is actually a warning to believers concerning the Lord's coming. The Lord warned us that when he comes, he wants to see his believers functioning in a certain way. Who can read verse 45? Or everybody who get it, let's read it together. Matthew 24, 45 and 46. Okay. Okay, it's a faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his what?
Household.
And what is the slave supposed to be doing? He's supposed to give them what?
Food.
Okay, so what our minister is supposed to do, they're supposed to give what? They're supposed to give food. Okay? If you're a public servant, if you're a waiter, if you're a steward on an airplane, you know, not too long ago I took a longer trip, long distance international flight, and the stewards came around and they actually served us a meal. I thought, wow, this is kind of nice. It's nice to have a meal on an airplane. You know, you don't get that anymore in the U.S. You get some snacks, so-called snacks. Okay. So, stewards should have food. Okay, but what is the food? We need to minister. If you go back to 1 Timothy 4:6, there's a couple phrases in there. It says, if you lay these things before the brothers, same thing. Laying these things, ministering these things, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, being nourished with what? So what is the food? Is the words of the faith. Or, like David said, the apostles' teaching. Or, what else does that verse say? And of the what? Good teaching. Okay? And actually, how about who can find Romans 15:16 quickly? Maybe keep your finger in these couple of portions. Matthew 24, 1 Timothy 4. And Romans 15:16.
That I might be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, a laboring priest of the gospel of God, in order that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, having been sanctified in the Holy Spirit.
Okay, here Paul said that I might be a minister, right, of Christ Jesus, a laboring priest. What is he ministering there? He's ministering the gospel. Okay? So maybe you didn't call it this or we didn't call it this, but this morning we got to hear a lot of stories of how we all had opportunity and some received, some didn't, but we all had opportunity basically to take our platter full of Christ embodied in the gospel or the apostles' teaching or the good, healthy teaching. We took it, these words of the faith, we took it as food, right? We didn't go around on the campus just to tell people how smart we are and how many verses we memorized and, you know, all the Bible knowledge we have. No, we came to minister something to people, okay? And some received, okay? But they got it. The Lord did not send angels to do this. And they didn't get it. Not too many people. In fact, I don't know if I ever heard of anybody get saved like the Apostle Paul. Okay? It was very, very unique. Most people, I don't know what percent, but I would say almost 100% of people get saved from one person to another person. Okay? Through ministers. Through stewards. Okay? No stewards, probably no salvation. Once in a while, somebody will get saved just by reading the Bible, or, you know, we're not limiting the Lord to do anything in any way, but quite often, most often, people get saved through ministers. And what are they ministering? They're ministering the gospel. Okay? So Romans 15:16 says, this is our ministry, is to minister the gospel. Okay, so to whom are we ministering? Okay, in if you still got your finger there, in 1 Timothy 4:6, okay, in the very beginning, if it says, if you lay these things before the brothers, who are you ministering to? The brothers. Okay, actually, Bill Lawson shared this a few nights ago. He said, you want to show honor to the saints? You know what the highest honor is? Is to minister Christ to another brother or sister. If I come to Jason and start gossiping, you could say, I'm dishonoring him. Okay, I'm defiling him. Okay? Or if our relationship, all we ever talk about is, if all we ever talked about was baseball, okay, then it's pretty common, pretty low, right? But if he ministers Christ, tells me what he's enjoying of Christ, he pulls out his platter full and he says, hey, taste this. Okay, and then I say, hey, how about this? Right? And so we minister Christ to the brothers. Amen. Right? Don't think it's only to outsiders. Okay, it is also to the brothers. Okay, who's still got your finger in Matthew 24? What does it say there? Matthew 24, the faithful and prudent slave whom the master set over what? We minister to the household. And who, if you look in the footnote, who is the household? It's the church, the believers, the saints. So if you come to the meeting on the Lord's Day morning, if you always sit in your seat and you never share anything with anybody, you're not exercising your stewardship. But if you pull out, maybe you don't have a whole lot on your platter, but maybe you got a little bit. You pull out your platter and you just minister it. Give a little something to the household. Right? Like at a love feast. Maybe sometimes, you know, sometimes when we have love feasts, maybe sometimes you make something nice. Sometimes I always charge the students, hey, learn to bring something. Okay? Don't just always depend on the older saints, the families. Learn to bring something, okay? Or maybe you just stop by the store on the way and you pick up a container of juice. That's better than nothing, right? That's great, okay? So what should we do? We come to the Lord's Day. You might think, oh, I don't have too much today. I don't know. Okay? You got a little something, right? Bring it forth. Minister it to the household. Right? Share it with the believers. Share it with the saints. Okay, who's still got your finger in Romans 15:16? Who did Paul minister to? Okay, right there in that verse, it says he ministered to the Gentiles. Okay, at the time that I got saved in my dorm, I was a Gentile. I was an unbeliever. Without God, in the world, lost. Okay? But a brother who was a faithful steward, he ministered. He gave food. And maybe the next thing we'll look at is, when should you do this? Okay? Matthew 24:45, what does it say? When should you do this? What does the verse say? At the proper time. So if you noticed last night, when Minoru shared, he said the Lord was bothering him, working in him. And he had been praying over and over, what about my roommate? And just, you know, struggling and considering and praying. And okay, finally the Lord said, Now's the time. Now's the time. Okay, do it tonight. Okay? So, there are certain times, you know, right? All of a sudden, you're next to a classmate, and, you know, all of a sudden, you just like, boom, right there, it opens up and says, hey, how come you're not all rattled by the midterm coming up, or seems like you're always pretty peaceful? You know, what's going on with you anyway? You know? Boom. That's a proper time right there. This is like, that's the time to be able to share a little something to minister Christ right there. Okay? Of course, the Bible also says, when's the best time? In season? Out of season. Okay, that means just about all times good time. We went to St. Louis this winter to preach the gospel with the saints who went out sowing the gospel, and we had a blizzard, and it was absolutely terrible. St. Louis became, where's Julio? St. Louis, not quite used to things like this, like Chicago. Do they have any snow trucks there? Anyway, the city looked like it became like a ghost town. Nobody was out. Anyway, guess what we did right during the blizzard? It was out of season. It was out of season. Okay, but you know what? It was so bad outside. We went knocking on a few doors, and people felt so sorry for us. They could not believe we were outside, and they let us in. And we got to share the gospel. Okay? Now, you think about these last couple days here is the opposite extreme. Okay? Is it just like, no, you can't go out there. That sun is so hot. Okay? But in season and out of season. Amen. Right? We just got to take the opportunities to minister Christ. Amen. Okay. Then who, if we're slaves or we're servants, who are we ministering unto? Well, you can say we're ministering unto the Lord. But in Matthew 24:45, who's overseeing this whole operation? The master. Okay? So we're not doing this just to win points or see how many people we can get saved just for that sake. No, we're serving. We're not just serving people. We're also serving the Lord. He's our master. And the Bible says, Matthew 24, you're either one of two kind of slaves. You're either a good slave or an evil slave. And there's only one distinction there. It doesn't say you're either well-behaving and a good brother or who doesn't sin and or a very sinful brother. No, it doesn't say that. Although we will be accountable for how we live before God. But here in this account, it's either you are giving food or you're not giving food. That's it. Okay, and the Bible says, blessed is that man whom when the Lord comes, when the master comes, he'll find him so doing. Right? So I would love to be out preaching the gospel when the Lord comes back. Wouldn't that be great? Or right in the middle of a fellowship time and you're ministering Christ to somebody and all of a sudden, wow, Lord comes back. Amen. Right? Or you're standing up in a church meeting and you're prophesying and you're next in line and you stand up to prophesy and the Lord comes back. And the Lord said, wow, I found you giving food. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Okay. Now, here's one big problem here is if you're going to do this, there is a little requirement. Okay? You go back to 1 Timothy 4:6. Who can tell me what is the requirement in this verse? 1 Timothy 4:6, what is the requirement in order to be a good minister, what do you need to do? Okay. Does it say you need to be a person who has been nourished in the past? Or even who will be nourished sometime in the future? Right? No, you know what it says? I checked with our Greek scholar, Joseph, here this afternoon. Okay, uses the word. You don't have to know any Greek. If you know a little bit about English, what kind of word is this? It's a gerund, or what else do we call it? It's a participle. It's an ing word. ING word. Do you know what that means? It's something that is continuing to happen. Right? It's a continual action. Right? So you are being nourished. Okay? There's one other place that I know of. There may be others, but there's one, another place in the Bible. Ephesians 5, verse 18, I think, it says, be filled in spirit. And I understand that the word there is being filled. That means don't just say, I got filled a few days ago. I was filled, and now I'm filled. No, that's not what it says. It says, be a person who is being filled all the time. You're being filled. Okay? So what do we need here? We need to be a person who is being nourished. It's an ongoing, continuous action or state of being, right? And actually, what is this? You're nourishing yourself. You're being nourished. Okay, now we have to consider, how do you do this? Okay, actually in the same verse, 4:6 at the end, it says, being nourished with what? The words of the faith and of what? Good teaching. And which what? You have closely followed. Okay, so that means you are not a casual observer, a casual reader. Once in a while, you come around to following the New Testament ministry that David talked about. Once in a while, you get into the apostles' teaching. No, in Acts 2, it says they continued what?
Steadfastly.
Those brothers were being nourished. They were in that state all the time. They were being nourished. Okay, so we have to consider. Like I heard one time, brothers visited another country. I won't tell you which one. They went to a country, and they went to a university campus, and they went into the cafeteria, and they saw a lot of students, a lot of Christian students. Guess what they were doing? Reading their Bible. Okay? Just was what they did in their free time, their lunch time. They read the Bible. Okay? So you should think about it. How many of you even carry your Bible around with you? Okay? So, if you're going to be a person being nourished, you've got to get into the Word. Okay, so, here I got some very, very practical. Okay? I'd like to share with you some things very practical. Okay. Okay, where is the nourishment? The nourishment is in the words of the faith. It's in the apostles' teaching. Okay, it's in the gospel. Okay, so where, practically, where can you keep yourself in a state of being nourished? It's, of course, we know, number one, it's in the Bible. Okay, so he's like, duh. Who doesn't know that? Okay. But, I'm sorry, we'll check a little bit. We'll see how you're doing with this regard. Okay? The nourishment is in the Bible text. The Bible itself. There's no replacement for the Bible itself. We should read the Bible. Okay? That's where the food is. The food is in the Word. If you're not reading the Bible, you are not being nourished. It's impossible. You're eating. You may be eating, but you're eating something else. Okay? So, it's in the Bible text. Now, number two. As we saw this week, it's in the footnotes of the Bible. Okay? I'd like to share with you. Can I use your Bible a second? Okay. I don't share this to boast, but I'd like to tell you, several years ago, this book came out. I don't know how many of you have this large Recovery Version Bible. It's a pretty big book, okay? And it's heavy, okay? And guess what? It's got both the text and the footnotes. Lots of them. Lots, okay? But you know what? Before this came out in print, it was only available in the New Testament. I got a little New Testament. Maybe most of you do. Okay? You could tell there's a little bit different size here. Okay? And I read this one a lot. But when this one came out, I thought, I was hungry. And I thought, I want to get into this. Okay? So you know what I did with my companion? You know who my companion is? My wife. Okay? Guess what we did? We went right just like this. Right in the very beginning, after the introductory pages here, we started Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Okay? We read one page and the footnotes. Then guess what do? Turn the page. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and there's only one verse on that page also. Turn that page, read the footnotes. And it was not a chore. I can testify every single morning reading that, I was just being nourished, being supplied. So guess what we did? Morning after morning, just some days we got through two or three pages. Most days, just one or two. Just one or two. Every day. We've been married a long time. One or two pages. Read a little bit. Text. Read the footnotes. Have some prayer. Okay? You are being nourished. Okay? Guess what? It took us about 4 years. I don't know, maybe five. Okay? Guess what? We finished the whole book. The whole thing. From Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of Revelation. Okay? Just going one or two pages every day. That's all. No race. Okay? And just enjoy it. Just get nourished. Okay, so the footnotes. It's hard sometimes just to read the text alone because you can't always understand it. You get the footnotes, it helps. And there's a lot of good milk and good food in the footnotes. Okay, another place with good riches are, okay, it's all Christ, but it's embodied in the Word. Okay, here's another one. It's called booklets. Okay? I don't know if you ever read booklets. Booklets are good for food. Here's one of my favorites. It's called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Okay? I don't know if any of you have read this. Okay, this is really good. Okay, it's got first chapters on the mystery of human life. We're all familiar with that one. Okay, it's got some very good, nourishing words of the faith. It's got healthy apostles' teaching. Very rich, very enjoyable, but edible. It's enjoyable, right? You can be nourished by reading booklets. Okay? Now, another thing, And I heard someone testify this morning, and I'm not I don't want to condemn or anything, but we got to get over it. If you don't like to read, you got to overcome not liking to read. You got to start reading. Okay? We got to read books. Okay? When I first met the brothers, guess what? They gave me about 5 or 6 books. Just sent me home with about 5 or 6 books. And I was not real spiritual or real well educated in the truth or real mature in life or any of those things. I used to sit up, this is before I came in the church life, I used to sit up, okay, real late at night, maybe watch a little TV, pull out one of the books, read a little bit. But you know what happened? I started getting nourished. Okay? So it's good to read the books. Right? If you don't know which books to read, you should ask one of the serving saints or each other if each other has read any good nourishing ministry books that contain the words of the faith or the apostles' teaching. It's good to read these books. Now, here's another thing. You know where the food is? It's at conferences. And guess where else the food is? You can all testify this week. There's a lot of food right here at the training. Right, this college training. There's food at the trainings. Okay, so if you're going to be a person being nourished, you have to go where the food is. Right? The food is in the Word. It's in the footnotes. It's in the booklets. It's in the books. It's at conferences. It's at trainings. You don't have to eat it all at one time. Right? You don't have to maybe, you know, this is just a menu. What do you like? I think I'll try one of these. You know, and tomorrow maybe I'll read one of these. I'll start to read one of these books. You know, we got to get nourished. And not just once a month or, you know, every 6 months or so I go to a conference, you know, then I get nourished. No, we should be being nourished, being supplied. Okay, so I have a few questions. Y'all have a piece of paper and pencil here? I have a few questions for you. You know, Dave had the joy all week of giving the test. I've got my own little test for you. Okay, this is easy. Nobody's going to grade you. You grade yourself. Okay, here's what I want you to write down. Okay, now please don't look at each other's answers. Okay, I'd like you to write down, which book in the Bible right now you are reading? Okay? Which book in the Bible have you been reading? Or are you currently reading? Okay? Okay. Next. Which booklet or book are you currently feeding on? Being nourished by. Okay, if they're blank, they're blank. Okay, and I'm doing this purposely to cause you to consider, are you really being nourished? Or are you just once in a while you go to a conference or training and you eat, you know what we say, you eat like a pig, right? But you don't have a normal daily diet. Okay, so, you know, that's okay for junior high or high schoolers, but for college students, you cannot survive if you do not have a book in the Bible you're reading, or if you are not currently in the apostles' teaching or ministry. How can you think that you are not going to deviate? Okay, here's the thing. You know, on the way here this morning, I don't know how many of you drove by. I know there's another faster way, but how many of you drove by the Nutter Center this morning on your way here? I don't know how many of you noticed. Okay, well, maybe they weren't there earlier. I saw them a little bit later. Do you know that parking lot at the Nutter Center is packed full of cars? So I'm wondering, what is going on Friday at the Nutter Center? So I looked at the marquee, the big sign up there. You know what's going on there this weekend? Or I don't know how long it's going to last. It's a big conference for Jehovah Witnesses. Okay? And when I saw that, and I saw how many cars are in that parking lot, I just felt, wow, how many people are deceived, carried away from the apostles' teaching, right? And the Bible says we need to be good soldiers, laying hold of the eternal life and fighting for the Lord's interest. How can you do that if you are not equipped, if you don't know the truth? Eventually, the Jehovah Witnesses can go to your house and convince you that Jesus is not God. It's convinced a whole parking lot full of people. Okay? So, we need to be in the apostles' teaching and be in God's New Testament ministry. We need to be in the healthy teaching. Okay, so, all right. I don't do that to condemn you, but I just do that hopefully to wake you up a little bit, cause you to think about, are you being nourished? How's your diet? You know, if we came here this week and the brothers told us this week we're having three meals, you know, Tuesday morning, Thursday afternoon, we'll have a meal, and then Saturday before we leave, we'll have a nice lunch. We'd all scream and leave. Okay? But we don't scream. You can go, how many of you go days without reading the Bible? Okay? Or reading the ministry? Okay? You're starving. Okay? And do you think you're going to become a steward or a minister, a good minister? Your platter, how's your platter? What's on it? Okay? So, we need to be nourished. We need to be those who are being nourished. Okay, now I'd like to give you another little column. Okay, how do you get into ministry? First of all, it helps. Read it. Okay? And this week we heard a lot about you can pray over the word or pray read it. Okay? And this week we saw a lot. You can memorize. And you can also study. Did you realize a number of the words we put up here on the board was just by paying attention, studying a little bit, what does the verse say? Okay? So, it's good to study the Bible. Doesn't mean you're going to become a great scholar, but it's good to know what does the Bible say. Right? Then we can, it helps, like Dave has helped us all week, recite. Recite a little bit. And we can prophesy. Right? Speak our enjoyment of Christ. And we can preach. Preach the word. And of course, all this is all under the... Then we'll be able to, what you call, minister. Or impart. Okay? You can say we're here to impart Christ. Where is Christ? Christ is embodied in the word, in the healthy teaching. No good teaching, there's no Christ. What are you going to tell people? Right? You can tell them how friendly we all are and how we smile and how we sing and we enjoy, we have good meals and all that. But that's not Christ. That's not the word. Okay, we have to minister the word. In the word. The word contains and conveys the riches of Christ. Okay. Now, one more quick column here and I'll stop. Okay. Here's another one. Maybe we'll put it over here. This is part of your test. Okay, go back to your test sheet. Okay. One way to read the Bible, and I know we like to emphasize, and I like to do it. Is it one L or two L's? Two L's. Okay, I know I like to do this myself. I like to do it corporately. But there are some times when you're just not around other people. Right? You don't have to do it. It doesn't mean because you do something personally that you're not a member in the body. or you're not body conscious, or you're not corporate, or you're not relying or depending on the saints. Okay, you can't go to an extreme in that way. We need to read the Bible personally. So I guess these go together. Okay, do you read the Bible personally? We can read the Bible. This is very good, and maybe we'll talk more about this tomorrow. Do you read the Bible with a partner? Here's one thing that's very good, and some localities are doing this, and it's something that maybe we all should consider. Let's say you have a hard time staying in the Word. You get inspired, and you think, I'm going to read the Bible, and you do it for about 3 days, and then you forget about it, and it's all over. And then next time we all get together 6 months from now, we'll fellowship about it again, and then you get stirred up again, and you do it for another maybe 5 days that time, and then you forget about it, and then you starve for the next few months. No, how can we keep each other on track? Okay, so let's say Jude, come up here. Okay, let's say Jude. Let's say I'm a companion with Jude. I say, hey Jude. Okay. Sorry, I guess I exposed what error I'm from. Okay, so I say, Jude, I'm having a tough time staying on track reading the Bible. How about, would you like to read the Word with me? Okay, how about this? You live quite a ways from where I do. So how about, let's just start, how about a chapter a day? Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll commit to that. Will you commit to that? Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll start Matthew 1:1. Let's read a chapter a day. And you text me when you're done. I'll text you when I'm done. And we'll text each other. Huh? No? You don't like texting? Huh? You want to call me instead?
Yeah.
Okay, call me. Okay, whatever's convenient, whatever you like. You want to call? You want to email? You want to text? But we need some way to keep each other on track. All right? So maybe Jude calls me on the phone. Hey, Marty, I just finished chapter 4. Are you on track? Say, oh my goodness, I forgot today. I just did chapter 3. Let me finish chapter 4. I'll call you back in about 20 minutes. Okay? And we keep each other on track. Okay? And we read through the Word. Okay? So you're struggling by yourself. Get a partner. Okay, thanks. Okay, so another way is, maybe one more quick thing. Have a schedule. Okay? There's so many Bible reading schedules available. You can go online. You just key in online, Bible reading schedule. You can go to, like we just mentioned this morning, readhisword.com and tell how fast you want to read. But I would encourage you, don't, sometimes we say, your eyes are bigger than your stomach, right? You think, wow, I'm going to get into this one. Let me see, 6 months. I'm going to do it. Okay, and then you figure out how many pages, and you figure out you got to read about 50 pages a day. I'm going to do both text and footnotes, 50 pages a day. Okay? And you can say, how long do you think that'll last? I'm not even sure I'll get through the first day. Right? So do something reasonable. Okay? I read through this. Took me 4 or 5 years. Okay? To read the whole thing. Okay? But possibly, without a consistent labor, you will not do this. Okay, so we're advertising actually at Northwestern this fall. We're giving, like following some of the other campuses, to do a Bible reading challenge. Challenge people. Okay, you think about it. You go to college, after one semester or one quarter is over, you can say, I finished this course, that course, this course, that course. Okay? How many of you can say, after one quarter, I finished this book, that book, this book, that book. Okay? So then we say, I'm fully consecrated. I love the Lord. I give my whole being to Him and all that. You can say, I don't know. It's pretty vague. Okay? You give yourself to the Lord, it's got to be practical, down to earth, real. Okay? Get into the Word. You will not be constituted with the apostles' teaching if you do not read the Bible. Okay? And if you are not in the ministry. So at the end of a quarter, wouldn't you like to say at the end of this this next quarter or next semester, I read through the four Gospels. Wouldn't that be good? That's very good. That's probably more than you did last semester, maybe. Okay, maybe not. Hopefully some of you have read more. Okay? So we need to make our consecration to the Lord. Like Minoru shared last night, Lord, I give you my whole life. I give you my whole being. But I know for a fact, if you ask Minoru his testimony, he was in these things. Okay? You know, that's what Paul charged Timothy. Be in them. Be in these things. Be immersed in them. Okay, so anyway. Sorry if a little bit scorning. I'm not trying to be scorning. But I'd like to be challenging. Okay, we're giving the students at Northwestern, we're going to do a Bible reading challenge. And, you know, we got two words. Read consistently. And read consecutively. What does that mean? That means start at Matthew. Don't jump to Hebrews. You go to Matthew, then Mark, then Mark, then Luke, then Luke, then John. Okay, read consecutively. And the third one is read with companions. So we're going to hook people up with, if you want to really do it, are you serious? Then get a companion who will check you, who will keep you on track. Okay? Okay. So, maybe we'll have some response from you all, some sharing. But we'd like to ask Brother Dwayne. Maybe he could share a little word before you all, so it'll give you a minute to think about what would you like to share or respond to this word. Be a good minister of Christ. Okay, sorry, I don't want to minister the law. I want to minister Christ to you. But I'd like to get you into the food.
When the brothers asked me to do this, I didn't know. But Marty shared some things tonight that are very dear to my heart. I really believe if we are going to be good ministers, everything he said tonight, we have to say a strong amen.
Amen.
I really appreciate so much the apostles' teaching. But with that, we need the apostles' fellowship. One thing that's impressed me about this time here this weekend is all the fellowship of you dear young ones after the speaking. I believe that whenever we rise up and speak in that kind of a way, that says, I believe what was spoken. And when we say amen in that kind of a way, God has a way to work it into us.
Amen.
If we sit in silence, it's very hard for God to work something into our being. We must be constituted. This constitution comes not only by our practicing these things, but our saying amen to the apostles' teaching. We really realize that, well, I would have to say the reason I'm still in the church life today is because for quite a few years, instead of reading just the Morning Watch, I read the ministry magazine that went with it. Out of that, I got much nourishment. I got much confirmation Many times it would go further than the morning watch went. About 8 years ago, I was still working at a job, working maybe 80 hours a week minimum. We still got time to read the Word. I still got time to be in all the meetings. But I began to cry out to the Lord, "Lord, I'm getting tired. I would like to be able not to work. I would like to be able to spend at least till 9 o'clock was our break time. I would like to spend at least till 9 o'clock just with you, not having to do something else." You know, the Lord honored that. I was able to quit working. I still work for myself some, but and I can spend many times 3 to 4 hours a morning reading and praying. I'm not boasting. This is my enjoyment. I've tasted something. It's only the Lord's mercy. It's not my determination. It's something that the Lord has worked in me. I would have to testify further that when you touch the Lord in that kind of a way during that time, it's an amazing thing. The Lord has established quite a habit of coming to me at 3 o'clock in the morning. And again, I'm not boasting. I wonder sometimes why he picks that time of the day. But he just visits with me. Very precious. Sometimes I have some huge questions. I ask him, "Lord, why this?" Every time he will come and speak to me his word, remind me of his word to confirm the answer to those questions. More recently, the last 8 years, in the morning revival, you realize at the end of that, there's some extra reading. Again, only by the Lord's mercy, I try to read as much of that as possible. That's why it takes so long in the morning. Not only to read the word, but to read that extra reading. You would be amazed at how much more you receive. Recently, I enjoyed so much Benjamin's, I believe it was Benjamin that shared, from Ephesians. The sisters in Iowa City were reading Ephesians. I felt it was my responsibility to also read Ephesians. But more than just reading the Bible, I opened up the introduction to the book of Ephesians and the life studies. I was so helped to see all the things that Benjamin shared. To see, to me, it was like writing over an umbrella of the church, but then all the aspects of the church. And it made me cry out to the Lord, "Lord, I want to be in the practice of every one of these aspects. Don't allow me to read this introduction and take it as a word of knowledge. But Lord, work it in me as a practice. Instill it in me in a way that I can lay it before the brothers in a way that they too will respond and have a desire to practice." And so I want to say amen to what Marty shared. I would hope, you know, I believe that this weekend I'm amazed to see the response in all of you, dear young ones. I feel so blessed as an old person to be here among you. It energizes me. And I realize this is another thing I should quit probably, but I've experienced over the years so many times that the word not only nourishes us, but it enlivens our physical body. Many, many times we have many home meetings. And maybe when we go to the door, or when we have to climb the stairs, I always tell the saints they should have apartments on the first floor. But it seems when it comes to moving them, they always choose a second or third floor. But anyway, climbing those stairs, sometimes you feel tired. But it doesn't take very long when you sit down with them and open the Bible, you become so invigorated. Amen. You begin to feel like a young man. And so you just really have to thank the Lord for His mercy. This is nothing of ourselves. The Lord is a merciful God. He is a faithful God. If we will commit ourselves to Him, I believe when we cry out to Him with a real heart's desire that agrees with His desire, every time He will be faithful to answer that desire and to work it out in our being. Amen. Amen.